Hey, welcome to The Catch-Up. Thank you for streaming. Make sure you subscribe. You tortured your children yesterday, Robin.
Okay, I did not torture them. I created a family event that actually makes them kind of cool going into my wedding.
Actually, manscaping's quite popular, we found out.
Thank you. I am at the forefront of a new trend.
I'll tell you who's not popular is Cricket Australia, sacking one of my mates. They've rolled everyone. Let's see if they get any better.
And the Moon Man's not here at the moment. We have a waning gibbous, moonless in the sky, because maybe he got a bit offended when we did that little intervention.
Yeah, we tried to help him. Well, actually, it started out talking about passwords on phones and turned into a Moon Man intervention.
He feels he's far more appealing than he is.
It's all coming up on The Catch Up. Enjoy.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
So over the last couple of months, one of the great glories that I have so enjoyed doing with my three sons who are aged 18, 16 and 14, with my partner Sean and his kids who are aged 25 and 21, is we find these kind of fun excursions to do as this big gypsy family that we're creating. And we've done things like go to theme parks. Like, we've done the normal stuff. Certainly this group are coming on our honeymoon, so we're actually having a massive honeymoon for 9 people to go around America, because that's so what you do when you blend Griswold families.
Yeah, so it's a big Brady Bunch bonding exercise.
Exactly right. And some of the things we've done leading up to the wedding is we've done group shops to get the kids sorted, because my sons are my bride's men and Sean's kids are his groom's kids, I guess.
Isn't that a good idea, not to have bridesmaids slightly tubby in apricot coloured dresses as your bridesmaids? I like that.
It's always the way. The bridesmaids have got to be less attractive than the bride.
And taffeta doesn't look good on anyone,
men, no.
It just doesn't.
Oh, yeah, it's a great idea.
So, yeah, so we've been doing these little excursions of fun things leading up to the wedding. So I thought that maybe with my teenage sons that it could be fun to get them to come with me.
Yes.
To get their eyebrows waxed. I said that really quietly so you wouldn't react badly.
Now, just their eyebrows waxed.
Yes. They're 14, okay. 16 and 18. Part of the real reason is that my eldest son can look like Pablo Escobar.
What is Pablo Escobar?
Has he got a monobrow?
Kind of.
When you go to get them waxed,
you're talking about getting your eyebrows sculpted right, but not with one of those women with the piece of cotton.
Threading.
No, I didn't thread them. No. And I did it as a fun experience with all of us, and Sean came as well. And
you took all the boys?
Yeah, we took the boys.
And took Sean?
Yeah, and Sean. And they all sat in, we went to the Brow Bar in Paddington. But here's the thing.
Wow.
As we were there, because the Brow Bar are open, and I purposely made it later so that there wouldn't be a lot of women coming through the door. I thought, you know, we've got an appointment for 5 and hopefully it'll just be us. In walked the door, not one, but 2 other blokes, randoms, had their appointments, sat down in the chair, and off they went.
Wow.
Escaping away.
So there were more men than women in an eyebrow bar.
One came in with his girlfriend, so they had a double appointment.
What was wrong with them?
What do you mean, what was wrong with them? What did they need doing? Well, they just,
What was the bloke you used to have? John Howard?
Yeah, one guy was really, really, really hairy, like all over hairy.
But some of the subcontinental eyebrows too, they just keep going up the forehead, even into soft downy hair till the hairline, like... There's a lot of eyebrow
forehead
there.
Beard?
Yeah, kind
forehead
of.
Forehead beard.
But here's my point. 10 years ago, there was no way on God's green earth that I would have had this conversation on radio, because it would have humiliated my children beyond belief. But now, let me say, there were more blokes in the Brow Bar last night than there were women.
The rise of the metrosexual, that's what it is. And you weren't in a brow bar, you were in a bro bar.
I was in a bro bar.
But there can't be any other kids their age have ever had their eyebrows done.
I don't know.
Surely not.
I don't know. And so here's my question about manscaping. Why are you doing it, blokes? I'm not even going to ask, are you? I'm just going to assume that some of you are, and I want to know why.
Why wouldn't you use a razor?
Well, because why? No, not
because it grows back stronger and bristly.
How do you get underneath your eyebrow with a razor?
It's not a wives' tale.
My barber puts a comb through it and then just goes
the trim.
No. Yeah, what's wrong with that? It doesn't grow back. That's rubbish.
Look
that
after yourself,
back thicker.
Marta, for God's sake.
Yeah, come on, Marto.
Are you talking about chess?
We're talking about everything. Anything. Like triathletes, when do they start manscaping?
You know, that's a myth. They say they do it, and I started doing it because they say when you hit the road.
Wind resistance.
No, that's nonsense. Don't let cyclists get away with this. They say when you hit the road, there'll be less, it doesn't pull chunks of skin off. it does slide a little bit better, but they do it because your muscles look bigger when you shave.
Well, here we go. Manscaping. Vascular. The thing I'm going to say this morning, whenever we kind of ask you guys to call in about stuff we're talking about, you know, often sometimes people call in straight away and there's a whole board of calls. Mm. I want to give a shout out to the people that they trickled in. And I'm imagining blokes are going, should I?
Should I do?
Should I actually ring? I do.
I'm going to do it.
I do manscape.
Should I change my name and my suburb? Rob from Ormo, is that really you?
So yay for you, Rob.
There you go, guys.
Yeah, is that really you, Rob?
Yeah, mate. Right. I do me back, mate. So the missus does. She does me back and painful. Now she started, I've got to keep doing it because it's grown more since she started it. So it annoys me now.
It's my most unfavoured hair on my body, but I can't get there, Rob, and my wife won't do it. How did you get her to do it?
Oh, she does it as a part-time job. Does nails. I've got mates that shave their arms, and that's how their tattoos look better.
They do
actually stand out more when you shave your hair off.
Of course they do.
Yeah,
boys.
I've got tats on my back, and they're kind of overgrown. It's like a finding an old fighter plane in New Guinea type
forest. That is true. You know, people with tats, there's special sunscreen for it as well, so they don't fade your tats.
See, manscaping is definitely a thing. Shannon of Nudgee, tell us about yours.
Hi, guys. 10 years ago, I was a beauty therapist, and I worked in an all-male salon. Only males came in.
Where is that?
Manscaping was done. It was in Tenerife.
All right, name the top four procedures. Number one is what?
Back.
Okay,
number two?
Eyebrows.
Wow, see, I'm not alone. Number three?
I'd say full Brazilian.
Full brows.
Wow.
With wax, not shaved.
They can shave themselves.
Is that just crack, or does that include the luggage?
The other rhyming words.
You pay a little bit extra to include the crack, that's for sure.
Okay, and number four, dare we ask?
Just legs.
Legs.
Oh, okay.
Just legs.
Wow. Can someone explain?
No luggage.
Can you explain, probably, Shannon, because you're an expert. What's the deal? I don't understand why wax above shaving. Does wax never grow back again or something?
It actually is a smoother regrowth. It helps reduce the hair growth over time as well. I think it just lasts longer than shaving, and you don't have to deal with ingrown hairs and rashes and things from shaving.
Mm. Yep, there you go. Thanks, Shannon.
Gee, that's uncomfortable if you're a girl doing stuff down there.
I reckon any kind of Brazilian, I've got to applaud the people that go there for a living.
Ken of Petrie, are you a manscaper?
Some of the things you'd
Morning,
say.
Party people. How are you?
Hi, Ken.
Yes, I am a manscaper. Just on to Marto's comment about shaving legs.
Oh, makes your muscles look bigger.
No, actually, Greg, it doesn't. I've been a triathlete for a long time. I've been shaving my legs for probably 25 years.
Yeah.
Mm. The two main reasons for it is, sure, when you come off on the bitumen and you get abrasions, the lack of hair follicle doesn't trap the infection and your legs heal quicker. And secondly, it's good. I get a regular massage, and also if you have hairy legs, I tell you, it's like pulling grass out of the ground when you have hairy legs.
Ken, that's why all the pro footballers have all got shaved legs.
Well, yeah. And yes, there are some pretentious triathletes who want to highlight their legs, but my nickname's Chicken Legs, mate. My lack of muscles is incredible. So,
you heal quicker, it's easier when you get massage, and your legs look a lot better in fishnets too, I bet.
Exactly. And high heels.
Good on you, Ken.
Well done, fellas.
One of the great escapers, Ken. VIP tickets for you and seven mates to Gulf Central Brisbane. Airport's top tracer launched this Friday night. Good on you, Ken. It's a big breakfast. Triple M's Big Breakfast. Marto, Robin and the Moon Man.
Cricket. I tell you what, one little piece of sandpaper has amounted to, at this stage, 9 body bags are outside the door.
9 people right now.
Let's go through them. Okay, Steve Smith, we're aware of. He's Gonski. Cameron Bancroft, the man who actually had the sandpaper down his pants, always a dangerous thing. He's Gonski. Dave Warner, Gonski. We're all clear on that.
Yep.
Darren Lehman, of course, he said, well, geez, I'm out of here. He's Gonski, the wolf. James Sutherland, the CEO, he quietly in the shadows went,
see you guys. Jonas.
See you later. I've got the other things to do.
See you, James.
Dave Peaver, what is Dave Peaver? The chairman of Cricket Australia. Of course, that was last week.
He voted himself in and then whoops.
Well, of course, if I was in year 10 with Dave Peaver, his name would be Dave Perver. But, Gary.
Nice. He's gone. Mark Taylor, of course, he said, no, I don't want to be a chairman. I saw what happened. He's Tubbs. Gone. Mm-hmm. All right, that's seven. There's a bloke yesterday went and they escorted him out. He used to run Triple M in Melbourne. So I've met him once in my life and he seemed like a decent bloke. He is the man, Ben Amafio, okay? He negotiated the $1.2 billion broadcast deal.
Wow.
That will keep cricket funded in the similar way that AFL gets funded and rugby league gets funded.
How by the mighty billion. Have fallen. Wow.
That's right. He's the bloke that did it. But apparently he upset a few people while he was doing the deal. Of course, if you're trying to wring $1.2 billion out of people, you're going to upset some people.
$1.2 billion.
Apparently, there are a lot of text messages flying at the top levels of TV executives going, "Gosh, sucked in." All right, yeah. So that's eight. And now a ninth has gone. A guy called Pat Howard, who will everyone go, who are you talking about? Righto, so Patty's a mate of mine. I've got to declare that right now.
Oh, yeah.
He's the ninth victim, and he is a real victim. He got called in. All right, just so you know, we played club footy together out at university for many years. He was a Wallaby 5'8". He went down and played for the Brumbies, so he won
tests. He's the performance coach that was coming from outside the cricketing world.
In 2011.
Is that right?
Yeah, 2011, they had the Argus review, which said Australian cricket is so far up its own A that it needs help. It needs someone from outside to come in and actually just say, hey, hold on, this is a problem. And he has a sports science background, okay? Mm-hmm. So he was full of stats. They said, however you want to do it, someone needs to be accountable. And he said, righto, and he started with Mickey Arthur, and he was one of the victims as well. But this bloke, Pat Howard, has been a winner his whole life, okay? In business, in sport, in business, just a tremendous bloke. Bloke from Ashgrove, four kids, all right? This is my friend. He was slotted because, first, Warnie called him a Muppet, all right?
Well, okay, so why is everyone so against him if he's such a lovely guy?
There is not a sport. Waka, waka, waka. Moon, you understand a bit about cricket and football.
I am the voice of Fox Cricket, by the way. I should declare my allegiance there too.
Yeah. Ah. This just recently happened. You are actually the voice of Fox Cricket.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So I do the voiceovers. Can Australia tie the series with South Africa?
Oh, I'm watching.
This is fair dinkum. You
on
know
Fox
this
Cricket.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
and so I'll be doing a voiceover soon. Can Australia actually win a game this summer? Only on Fox Cricket.
Mate, don't do that. You won't be the voice for much longer.
I reckon it might take until next week. I don't reckon it will. Anyway, we've already said that. But what happens?
Rupert Murdoch's going to kick somebody's head in only on Fox Cricket.
This is going to drive us insane. Cricket summer hasn't started yet. All right, so football, AFL, they combine with rugby league. They swap ideas. NFL, you can go over there. Soccer, it goes over to rugby union. All the football codes are really happy to have intermingling, like to have coaches come over, show us how to kick, show us how to throw, except for one sport. Cricket is the most insular sport in Australia and they hate outsiders. And Pat Howard, from the day he got there, has been hated by old cricketers. Ian Chappell's headed this all up. And this poor bloke has been hounded and hounded and finally he said, I'm going to hang him up after the Ashes. In the 7 years he's been in charge, we won the Ashes twice and we won a World Cup.
Okay, but read the papers, people are really harsh about he was the one that gave the culture of win at all costs.
Well, that and also he measured things by stats and cricketers hate being measured by stats and they hate, he's the guy that, Pat is the guy that said, we've got to rest. He's going, he came into the sport and said, how come all the fast bowlers are breaking down all the time? And he went, right, oh, let's reduce their workload. And they hate that because they went, oh, Dennis Lilly never did that. Tomo never did that. Fair dinkum, he used science or tried to apply science to cricket. And they said, no, we don't want science. So cricket is one of the only sports that will now go backwards. Can you just have a listen to, this is Stewie McGill, one of the great brains. This is what he said about my mate.
Pat Howard's been stealing an income from Cricket Australia, from cricket for a long, long time as far as I'm concerned.
He's harsh.
Whoa. Oh, well, Stewie McGill is one of the most unpopular people to ever pulled on the baggy
That'll
dream.
Be me. So cricket needs to have a look at itself. It is the only sport in Australia that's going backwards at the moment.
It is the big breakfast on Triple M.
Oh, you think it's not tough enough being captain of the Lions after a pretty difficult 2018, but there you are on page one, Dane Zorko. Oh, there you are again on page five, because he and his girlfriend have had a bit of a breakup. His girlfriend's name's Kalinda
Sella.
And they've been together for some years, haven't they? Mm. So
took her to the Brownlow.
Do we know what happened between Dane and
It would appear
Kalinda?
That she has picked up one of his mobile devices and discovered things that probably should... Little Dane may have been playing a way fixture occasionally. Oh. Who knows? I don't know. It's not for me to say.
Anyway, that's the accusation.
All right. So on the end of, she started posting things publicly on his account. Mm. Thank goodness I know your passcode, Dane, so I could see why you actually didn't care about leaving me part of the post read. So, yeah. And now, this is one of the problems.
What is?
The modern world. You've got no secrets because they were deep enough into their relationship that they both knew each other's passwords, like my wife and I. Like,
well,
can
Sean
I just go around the room?
Yeah, of course you can. Sean doesn't have a password on his phone. He
Me
doesn't
neither.
Care. And yeah. I don't care. He could see whatever's in my phone. No
my
problem whatsoever.
I don't know about you, Moon. Kath and I share the same email. And as I say to people, you don't want to have an affair. That's the best way of doing it. Just have the same email account.
We haven't got the same email address, but my wife knows the code to my phone. And because I am an open book, I had on the 25th of October in code proposed to Lou. And she's going through my calendar. And no, I know it's not a code.
Oh, God.
What's this? And I said, oh. But she didn't know I'd had a surprise party organised for her. So, yeah, I don't know exactly how you would have an affair. My mind's too busy.
Well, no, but okay.
No, don't
life.
Think about that.
Boys,
this is
we're
how you get
old.
Found out, though. Mitch Larkin and Emily Seagold.
Still hot.
Yeah.
No, you're not hot, mate.
You're not. You're old. And you're not hot.
In your mind, you okay. You'll just get yourself into trouble with all these fantasies, okay, mate?
Like, don't follow through, Moon, okay?
You're not hot.
We're all old. We're all not hot, okay?
That is hurtful.
This conversation is for those under 30, okay?
Oh, okay. I was all going right. to start talking about another thing, but let's go there. Mate, you're over 45 years of age, okay? And like many of us, we've got a little gut. No, ain't no girl ever going to look at you again, okay? So be happy with what you've got.
I've got a veranda over the toy shop.
Yeah. No one.
You're like Harry Potter when he looks into that mirror and just sees what he wants to see. Big breakfast
with
on Triple M.
The tiny thin wand.
I've said this before, but I seriously probably am the only person still watching The Bachelorette. But the reason why I am is because it gives really interesting relationship questions that are posed through that show that I'm then able to bring back to you two and make you really uncomfortable and talk about your feelings.
Oh, my brain's already hurt.
As a man, a hopeless man stumbling through life, I don't know how I've got this far. It's good to get a life lesson from you, Robin Bailey.
Well, I'm not sure if this is a life lesson, but we'll see. Okay, because we might learn something about you two, and I'm guessing that, Marto, this one is particularly relevant to you.
Stay shallow, be happy. That's how I live my life.
Nice, man.
Okay.
Oh, that is good stuff.
Thanks, boys.
Stay shallow, be happy.
No, don't say that to Harry. He'll have no chance at all if you give him that life.
Never express your feelings and...
Okay,
push
have
all
you
the
finished?
Hurt down deep.
Yeah,
have
don't tell me
finished?
About my Harry. He's got abs. He'll crack girls.
Okay.
Don't worry.
Okay, last night on The Bachelorette, we're now down to the final four, and tonight is home week, so she's going back to their home. So we had to get rid of one. And what she decided to do was take a bloke called Tate, who she's actually got quite hot and heavy with. She really likes him, but he's not been opening up much with her. So she thought, I'm going to take him on a single date and see if I can crack him. So they went to a beachside pool. And she had all these questions she wanted to ask him. And the questions, he didn't really come good with the answers. So they come back. She didn't give him a rose.
What were the questions? Are you going to tell
us? Oh, just relationship stuff about, you know, when do you want to get married? What would you do with your business? She was just trying to find out where his life was at and whether he would commit to her. She's very full on Ali about finding the one. She's kissed a lot of toads. She really wants the prince this time.
Now, just to recap on Ali, you think she's a little bit older than she's saying.
Well,
you've done some math and you feel like she might be just catching
she's in
a little
30s.
Bit.
Well,
and
we
you also said
on.
That she's got hair extensions, so she's old and bald.
Okay, none of those things have come out of my mouth. All right,
I think
neither
that's
of those
you and
two
I
things.
One day
yeah,
established
that's
that.
You two.
Right. So
anyway,
the old bald bachelorette.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, so basically, in the rose ceremony last night, a guy called Daniel goes, but
hold on.
Tate. the guy that she took on the date, is starting to freak out because he's realised he's had this whole time with her and yet he hasn't opened up. So as we're going into the rose ceremony, he says this.
I can't believe I've missed my last chance to get some alone time with Ellie. I should have opened up more. To be honest, man, I've got so much doubt. I have a lot of regrets.
So here's
That's the male condition, doubt and regrets. I mean, that's what I live with day in, day out.
What, doubt and regret? Oh, what, you that, do stuff and then you regret doing it?
Yeah, I do stuff.
That's the Catholic
I regret doing
in you
it
too.
And then I doubt whether I can keep going.
But don't you just, in the Catholic in you, doesn't it just go into a small room? Doesn't matter who somebody you can't see and
that's
say
the great
sorry
thing about
that
it,
and
yeah.
out
yeah,
you go.
You're
and
absolved for your sins.
Professionals.
Fresh.
Now I know what
clean
you're talking about. Yeah. I just want to know, in your lives, in your emotional lives with girlfriends,
what?
Has there been a time where you wished you'd said stuff? Has there been a time where you let one go because you didn't open up, you didn't actually expose your heart? Marto, stop rolling your eyes.
But no, actually, Marto's head is like the Labrador when you're talking to it. It's just twisting from side to side. When you said emotional live, you just went,
what?
It's like I just started talking
did
a foreign
language.
Did
you say go for a walk?
Is that the lead you've got in the head?
Yeah. Emotional live.
What are you talking about?
It's the Big Breakfast on Triple M.
A sad and fascinating story out of Devon in the UK. Ron Easton, aged 102. Ron Easton, has been found dead. Unfortunately, Ron had got onto the roof of his house.
He was
yes,
how
102.
Old? Oh, my Lord.
Up the ladder. You shouldn't be going up a ladder over the age of 50, I believe, because of the compound fractures you'll be copping if you fall off. But anyway, he's got onto the roof with some tools and a rake. To fix his TV antenna.
Stop right there. Do you mind me interrupting the story?
No, please.
What,
we interrupt this bulletin.
Well, someone from Jim's aerials might ring us, but at what stage does a rake help you fix the aerial?
Well, I'm just going to bloody reach up here and give the aerial a whack with me
rake. Oh, would it get a bit of extension of his arm?
Can't get any reception. Oh,
it's stuck
on Channel 2, and I want to watch Thomas the Tank Engine. Anyway, so Ronnie's up there, but he must have had a fall while he was up there and rendered himself unconscious.
On the roof?
On the roof. Oh. So he didn't fall off the roof, fell whilst on the roof.
Yeah, I bet you he stood on the rake and it would have hit him in the face like the classic.
Yeah.
Anyway,
neighbours noticed that the milk started to pile up at the front door because Ronnie loves a smoothie. You don't get to 102 and not look after your calcium.
Stop it. Stop laughing. This poor little fella died.
He looked. I mean, he must look after himself. He was very famous in the area too, always driving around in his blue MG. So me and Ronnie have got something in common there.
Wankers.
old wankers. Anyway, so they found Ronnie on the roof. 3 days. Oh. He was up there for 3 days and sadly passed away.
Yeah.
But I just have the feeling that maybe at 102 you should have been calling Jim's antennas and getting them to go up on the bloody roof.
Okay, mate, you should be calling anyone. Like
you could,
anyone.
But surely you've got children or a grandchild who could get up there.
Somebody. I mean, the neighbours. Ron, but no, Ron's stubborn and he had to go up and fix it himself. And I think having English parents who are quite frugal, Ronnie might have been a bit of a tight ass and it's cost him his life.
Yeah.
And that's what I think has happened here. And I want to know, when has being a tight wad cost you dearly?
I can say there are a number of people listening who won't use parking stations, you know, won't pay for parking.
Oh, yeah. I'll
that
just
would
nip
cost
in here.
Them daily because you miss out on life driving round and round and round
but
looking for a street
park. But then you give
park.
Up and try and go, this looks all right, and you do something illegal, and next thing you know, you get $170 fine.
Exactly right. Yeah. Jeff of Bribey Island, when's it happened to you?
I thought I was doing the right thing and bought the wife a dishwasher and got it home. And realised I had nowhere to put it in the kitchen, so I cut the drawers out and went to put it in there and then realised I had no drawers, so I had to buy a set of stand-up drawers as well. As I was doing the plumbing, I cut the pipe too short or too long, whichever way you want to look at it. So I ended up getting a mate who was a mechanic to come round with his oxy-welder and we tried to fix it and we ended up half burning the kitchen down and I eventually called my mates who were farmers and they come and fixed it, but yeah, the whole story.
Jeff, just stand still. Hopefully we can hear you. But why did you get a mechanic rather than a plumber in the first place when you had the pipe problem?
because he was cheaper.
Yeah. Oh, buddy. Okay. Would you do that again, listen, Jeff? How's your tightwadness going now?
Lessons learned, but I do things better now.
Yep.
No, you don't.
See, I think people who are tight for life, Greg Martin.
Yeah.
You can't change your ways. No, Jeff, if you've got a dodgy antenna, mate, don't get on the roof with a rake.
Big breakfast on Triple M.
Big story, QUT. Now, that's the Queensland University of Technology, offers Australia's first uni esports scholarships. All right. For next year, if you apply by mid-November, you can say, I want one of these esports. Now, this is everyone understand what esports is? Of course,
gamers. Is it gaming?
Yes, gaming. Right. They are offering elite athlete. You join their elite athlete category. So they've got soccer players. I think they've got tennis players. There might be a golf player underneath their scholarships for elite athletes. They're now going to give not one, not two, five, $10,000. It's worth a year to the student.
But athlete and gamer doesn't kind of like. There's something wrong there. That doesn't marry together. I mean, we're talking about a kid feeding himself Doritos and.
That's what we're thinking about.
Grand Theft Auto.
Yeah, but that's an option. But the thing is that what happens, those five kids, male or female, doesn't matter, they all represent QUT in the League of Legends Oceanic Challenger Series. Apparently,
I understand this is an enormous gaming world. Look, my son, if he's not actually playing, two of them, the two younger ones, if they're not actually playing their games, they will be watching YouTube videos or streaming live of stadiums full of people while gamers are up on the big screen.
That's right.
Right. And look, I understand this is taking over the world, but it scares the absolute bejesus.
They reckon on Fox Sports there could be their own channel, an esports channel, because this is so big. They're filling stadiums throughout the world. You know those drone championships? Yeah. It's all sorts of gaming. It's such an enormous world. And I'm saying that why put your head down and swim 400 laps a day and try to be a swimmer getting zero when you could be put your expertise at doing...
It alters your brain waves.
But who wants to watch that? Are we watching the person play or are we watching the screen that they're watching so we can watch the action?
Both, because a lot of it will be virtual reality. You'll be able to put it on and be in there virtually wearing their eyes.
Give me the tent pin bowling.
This is terrible.
It's the future.
It's not the future.
It is the future. Look, this is where it's all going because everything's going to be to do with your
feet. It's not. It is.
Hey, between your eyes and your hands, it's all going to be, and maybe other sports codes are going to be reduced.
Playing gaming too much, it alters your brain space. And depending on which games you're playing, you're talking about young kids with the thought of becoming an elite, in inverted commas, athlete in e-gaming. What the fact that they are socially inept because they don't go outside in the sun, the fact that they could potentially be morbid. I just find this so frightening.
I think it is totally in chorus with the explosion in mass shootings in the US.
I don't know about that. People surely can draw a line. Or maybe people can't draw a line between fantasy and reality. But, gee, there's a lot of kids playing those games. There's not many people shooting things up.
Let's
open it up.
The Big Breakfast. Can of worms.
Here's the call. Esport is the future of sport. You think about what your kids are. Think about, just project yourself into the future.
That means anything can become a sport.
I will say this that my 16-year-old, when he was younger, he had such issues. If he was on the gaming console, and we're talking about an impressionable sort of 11, 12, 13-year-old, if he was on the console for more than half an hour, I knew that it would take me at least half an hour to an hour to get him back into the real world when he came off the console because he was really agitated, he was detached, he wouldn't speak, he would go and bash his brother up.
Yep.
And that was not necessarily, that was still FIFA because it's so competitive. Yeah, that's right.
Well, if they're in an elite sports program, these e-gamers, they'll have people who can deal with those sort of things, I guess. So now if it's officially called a sport, they'll have ways of dealing with all that.
Okay, let's find out. Lyndon of Pimpamar, what do you reckon? Esport is the future of sport. Do you agree?
It's a lot less in the future. It's actually been around for decades. Korea's got national champions, entire television channels dedicated to it running 24/7. It's an actual legitimate sport. It requires skill. It improves. Yes, you're right, Robert. It does change brain patterns. It increases or actually decreases reaction times, improves it. It also improves critical thinking. The entire sport itself, I was heavily involved in it for years when I was a lot younger. The game they're playing is the League of Legends.
This game, what does that mean, Lind?
League of Legends is a game that's it's called a MOBA, a multiplayer online battle arena. It requires on-point, high-range mathematical skill to determine amount of damage dealt or healing required.
Wow.
A team of five people, yeah. And they have to work together as a team to defeat their opponents, also a team of five. That's why there's five scholarships for this
Lyndon,
particular program.
You are obviously right across this, and you're a gamer. Were you rubbish at outside sports?
No. I used to play rugby league as a kid, grass hockey, rock climbing. The only reason I don't do any full contact sport anymore is, unfortunately, I have a cervical fusion in my neck, so I can no longer play full contact sports. But,
all right. So it's a sport that accommodates you.
Yeah, definitely. But not only that, it's got the whole misconception of sitting in front of a screen, eating Doritos and bludging. That's not what these kids do. They're heavily trained. Well, they're actually a lot of the most professional League of Legends teams. The World Tournament's about to start.
Yeah.
And they're housed in homes that are paid for. Their education is paid for. These homes are filled with staff to monitor their diet.
Okay, Lyndon, just answer me one question. Is the game violent or not?
No, not in my opinion, not at all. It's very cartoonized, very stylized.
That says to me it possibly is.
Okay.
Okay, thanks for that, Lyndon.
Good wrap-up.
Running out of time, we'll take one more from Trevor from Kipera.
Hey, Trevor, what do you reckon about gaming? Is it the elite sport of the future?
No, it's here now. And as far as your point about altering brain chemistry, is the alternative playing contact sports and having CTE? What's the lesser of the two evils?
Great call.
What do you mean?
Concussion. Out of body contact sports.
You've got kids at eight, 6, 7, 8 years old, girls and boys, playing full contact rugby league, have end up with CTE, which ends up just demoralising them in their 40s, as well as the hand-eye coordination they're showing now in studies helps people with Alzheimer's and things like that, Parkinson's, because it keeps the brain going. So while you might look at it as a negative that the kids as Moon says, sitting there with Doritos, blah, blah, blah. The reality is that they're actually using the hand eye, their brains. They're not sitting there just watching TV. They're actually engaging. And, it's happening now, as the other guy said.
That is true, Trevor. Although I have thrown the control at my brother plenty of times. So there are injuries that happen in esports.
Yeah, exactly right.
A lot of callers calling through. That's all we have time for, though. 70% of them agreeing that esports is now a real sport. It's the future of sports.
What about the fresh air? Get outside.
Nah, don't worry about it. Just open the window. Big breakfast. I'm Brisbane's Triple M.
All about cranes. Yesterday was Smoko Shout. And I've always had a fascination with cranes because being a builder, I used to love it when we had to. Like, I only did domestic renos and stuff.
What do you like about them? They just are a serviceable implement that takes things high and puts them into buildings.
What amazes me is the boom always looks so flimsy. Why doesn't it just fold?
We'll get to this. Because it's like a roof truss. It's got the engineer design, the framework, the webbing, holds that load on that angle. You see the crane model I've got here, so everyone, I know you guys, everyone driving can't see it, but that is all engineered.
It's a crane,
and
people.
See back here, see these stacks here. They're the counterweights. Like, you can have up to 500 tons to hold this thing. What we're talking today is cranes, because I've always had, because Robin, they're used to move that from over there, a load there, up to there.
Oh no, I've seen them in action. I just have zero interest.
When was the first crane?
Oh, I've got some pictures of some old ones here. Yeah. Oh, well.
That's all right.
Well, didn't the Egyptians use this style of crane?
Yeah. Oh, I didn't know we were going to be us.
I didn't know we were going to go all the way back to the pyramids.
Okay.
Just trying to contribute.
When I got the universal cranes, you can ask questions as we go along.
Okay.
But I've got a set. I've already done the interviews at Universal Cranes, Brisbane's biggest crane company.
Okay.
You go there, drop them off Smoko. And then, of course, I went, need to know a little bit more. So these are your types of cranes. They have them all. These are mobile cranes, that we're talking about. So they've got wheels. They drive along like this.
That's what mobile means.
And they put together the tower cranes. But here's their different sizes of mobile cranes.
The ones that drive along the road with the arm over the top of the driver are Franners.
Which, they're the Franners, yeah. Franners, what are the bigger ones? Carry.
What's the next size?
You've got the all-terrain, you've got the city class.
So they're all-terrain, yeah, the wheelers. What do you call these big ones? Do they come on a truck, don't
they? Yeah, the crawlers, yeah.
They're crawlers.
Crawler cranes, yeah, on track.
That's what we got here, right? Are you looking at wedding photos?
No,
don't you
I'm
do
not.
Any wedding preparation
no, no, no.
while
Can
we're
I
talking
tell you
cranes?
What I'm doing?
How dare you?
The crane for, okay, oh, the crane for lifting heavy right. loads was invented by the ancient Greeks in the late 6th century BC. I'm trying to contribute, people.
Yeah, come trying, on. Yeah.
Snap back to yeah. the 21st century.
I invented a crane. It was a cash job.
Couple of days.
Actually, there were a lot of Kiwis there yesterday, don't worry. All right.
That was a Greek impersonation.
What do we always need? Oh, was it? I thought that was a Kiwi.
No, it was not.
Sorry, distraction. Keep going with your crane. The center,
okay.
It's over.
So okay, you need so we've got Franners, crawlers. Yeah,
crawlers. Oh,
all
just think about the crawlers. They're enormous. So, you know, you see the tower cranes on top of city blocks.
Yeah.
They're not mobile. They haven't got wheels on them. You know that. You need one of these to build one of those. And that's the question everyone wants. How do you build one of those tower cranes? Like, the crane's there, but don't you always wonder, how did they get there?
Yes, they seem to just pop up out of thin air.
Thank you, Moon.
Now, can I ask you one question? Mm. Once the tower is made, they can't make that bigger, can they? That the tower is a set height.
Yes, because, well, have a listen to Mick, who I asked, because they build another tower next door and they can sort of jump up like a transformer. They can build it up. Well, you have a listen to Mick explain it.
Obviously, the tower crane comes in pieces. Yeah. You know, put the base in and put the towers up in pieces.
Yeah. What do you call the bit where the guy craney sits?
The cab.
Righto. So when does that go on?
It goes on pretty much in the middle. So you put the cab on, then you put the beam on, the jib, and then and the counterweight deck. And
but
the
everyone will go, how does it keep climbing higher?
Oh, it depends if we can put it up at height, or they've got a climbing frame where they can climb themselves.
They climb themselves up the side and
So they've got a frame that sort of acts as the tower, and it just jacks itself up.
Hold the audio.
They bring up the next tower.
Are you clear on this so far? Mm-hmm.
Hold on. It can actually just grow itself.
Sort of
it
like
jacks
a transformer,
itself up.
Yeah, but they've got one tower and they can build on that. This is, I know, I have my, continue the audio.
No, the audio's done.
Oh, was that the end of it?
You can't just pause it. Okay. What do you think this is?
All right.
Once it starts, it's
I just
it's
was
there.
Googling transformer cranes. Apparently there is one.
Yeah, well, you understand. So I've got the model here for you. Well, hold on, do I have some more audio? Yes, I did. How big are some of the, I went up in one yesterday, went about 50
metres
up.
I know, I got
up.
A photo.
How did you get up?
In the dog box, you go, they lift you up, and it was so quick and efficient, and looking over the Brisbane River down there okay.
You got craned off the ground.
I got craned off the ground for ages, and just standing there having a chat, could have done it. It was just so, it felt safe. I was all hooked in and everything. Mm. Hold on, I just want to tell you how big these cranes are.
We got a crane, mobile crane that goes to 100 metres. We can get 100 metres in the air.
100 metres a long way.
Yeah.
All right, hold on. There. What does everyone know? From the playing field to the top of the roof at Suncorp Stadium.
Is that 60 metres?
Yeah, it'd be 50, 60.
So twice that, Robert. Underneath the Gateway Bridge at, say, low tide.
Gateway Bridge is 80.
It's only
80 metres to
That's
the bridge.
That's more than that.
Yeah.
See?
So if there
blokes
was ever
know how high things are.
Yeah.
If there was ever like a storm or whatever, can they knock over a crane?
Okay, they won't run over 36 kilometres an hour of wind. They'll lower the jib. See this thing here? They bring that up directly.
Did
up.
Did you so buy a model crane specifically for this?
He's got a number
Mate,
of
I've
them.
I've got one for you. I've got one for you and your child. I know it's a girl, but there's not enough female crane drivers.
You know what? We're going to give that away. 133353 if you'd like Marto's model crane.
You can have mine.
Yeah, because we do not want it here in the studio.
We all of a sudden have two. 133353, play it out.
It is, okay, here we go.
Amazing
Yeah, it's Crane O'Clock, Crane FM with Craney Crano and the Crane Man.
Is that all?
It's the end of the podcast, what do you know? So tune in tomorrow and catch the show.
Triple M.